for joining us today for this episode of Shoulder to Shoulder, where we strive to grow in love of the Lord and each other. I am Pam Marvin.
And I'm Megan Silas.
And we welcome you back to this episode of Shoulder to Shoulder, where it's all about friendship and kind of that intimacy and growing with friends. And I thank you so much for being that friend for me. Mm-hmm. And I'm so thankful to Red Sea Radio that we are able to share this time together and just give our little conversations on the air. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. It's fun to be able to just chat so much. I think a couple episodes ago, I was saying that my parents had come to visit recently, and they were asking me about the show and how we prepare for it. And I said, well, you know, we come up with topics ahead of time, but we don't talk about the topics beforehand. And my parents were like, well, do you kind of have a outline or whatever? And I said, well, you know, sometimes I'll look up Bible verses that I, you know, maybe want to bring into a conversation. But for the most part, it's just Pam and I chatting. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that I think perhaps someone could listen to our conversation during these episodes and think it's really, you know, something that we've put on, you know, for the podcast, that we've done this research and background and all this sort of thing. And now we're, you know, coming to, you know, display our knowledge or what we've come to learn. But really, this is just the way we talk to each other. Yeah, I mean, it actually right. is. And I don't know that we've ever really kind of said that so plainly.
You know, in the beginning, I think we did speak about it, because when, gosh, I don't know how long we've been doing this, how many years. I know it's like 150 episodes
later. Yeah,
it's
like 3 years.
But when the radio station wanted to break out and start doing podcasts, the Lord really put it on my heart, like, man, our conversations are pretty awesome. I mean, we get real theological and philosophical at times and really share our hearts with one another. And I thought, that'd be really cool to put on the air. And that's how it was born.
So I think in a way it's kind of like, I share it to say, even if it doesn't seem natural to the people listening that people would talk like this, it actually is really just us. And also to say that, I mean, this isn't something that we've vetted and have some major expertise that we've like done research, all this research and everything. Like, this is what we're really abandoned to the Holy Spirit and what he brings to our True. Hearts, and just kind of come with these open hearts and minds to try to just channel his desires and his goodness. And so that being said, if anyone ever has comments or like, oh, I totally didn't agree with what you were saying, or a different take on it, we want to hear them, because sure. I certainly am open to correction in any way, shape, or form, because the reality is that I want to learn. I want to grow. I want to function in life with humility and docility.
And I think that's one of the things that makes us work too in our friendship, Megan, is that both of us are kind of lifelong learners. We are fascinated with our Catholic faith. We're both converts, and we both like have done research to see why the church teaches what she teaches. And so we kind of draw on that knowledge, and we want to continue to learn. And it's like a treasure trove of knowledge from our Catholic church. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things I think about when I'm with friends like you, who are such, you know, good spiritual friends, is it makes me really understand how heaven can work. Mm. Because, you know, some people think, oh, how eternity, like that's just going to get boring or whatever. And, you know, I find like, no, actually, when you're with somebody who loves the Lord, loves to talk about the Lord, it never gets old. We talk and talk and talk and talk. And it's like, you know, we've spent 6 hours in a day talking, and you're like, oh, it's over.
Yes, exactly.
So, you know, one of my little phrases that I love to say, a friend and I, instead of saying goodbye, we actually say looking forward to heaven.
Oh,
when we don't ever have to say goodbye, and we can just keep the conversation going forever. So the topic of today's conversation, we mentioned in the last episode this idea of like how we often can sometimes not own our own choices and think that people have taken things from us that really we gave them.
Yes, let's put a name with it. It's blame. A lot of times it's blame. I mean, there could be other synonyms for blame, but that's the essence of what it is.
It's blame, but sometimes it's also an unwillingness to own our own autonomy. Like, well, you know, we've spoken of this many times, I know, on regarding different topics, where one of my favorite verses in the Bible is when Paul says, the Lord has set us free for freedom, so let us no longer undergo the yoke of slavery. And this idea that we have been given the greatest gift in the world, which is free will. The Lord himself gives us choices. And yet, how often do we relinquish the idea that we have the capacity and the right and the ability to make our own choices and say, well, I didn't have a choice because, well, circumstances made me do it, or he or
oh,
she made me do it.
This is
going to
be a good one for me, I'm saying. Okay,
why
I see myself
saying?
A little bit in that. So
talk about that. Why does that resonate with you?
It's too personal right now. Let me warm up a little
bit.
I mean, I'm all about being vulnerable, but that might be a little much.
Okay. Well, I guess what I would say is that there's an idea in sort of the healing ministry work. It's something that I know Dr. Bob Schutz talks about a lot, which is unholy self-reliance.
Yes.
So this is an idea that everything depends on me. It's all on my back. Like nobody can tell me anything. And I'm an island, you know, and that's not healthy. That's not good. But I would say that that's the extreme of taking your own free will to a place of sinfulness, which is actually usually the result of painful wounds that told you through your experiences through life that have told you that nobody's there for you. No one's going to help you. It's all up to you.
Right.
So there's reasons why you would go down that path. But the opposite of that is, I don't have the right to make any choices for myself. Everybody else is more important than me. Everybody else's
there's a name for
needs
it.
Are more are it's, more needful, or everyone else knows better. So I just need to respond to what everybody else is telling me or doing or needs, and just completely relinquish my own
right
thoughts or free will.
There's one word for it that
okay.
describes it really well.
What's that?
Helplessness.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little too familiar with that one.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's really tied to the sin of self-pity.
Mm-hmm.
So much so, which, see, I'm very a lot of self-disclosure here.
Well, and when you say that's helplessness, actually, you know, thinking about it in the terms of spiritual warfare, I would say that you could be a person who's functioning that way is living under the influence of a spirit of helplessness.
Yeah, 100%.
And so that is a lie that the enemy tells you so that he can steal from you.
Because there's fear behind that.
Right, there's definitely fear.
There's a fear, yeah, uh-huh. For sure.
But I think the thing to remember is that what the enemy wants to accomplish through that is to steal that very gift that the Lord has given you that says, no, you are free to choose things for yourself. You are not helpless. My help cometh from the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my eyes look to the hills from whence my help cometh. Like this idea, no, we're not helpless. The Lord is there to be our help and our strength, but he wants to work in us and through us for us to live in our stature as mature men and women of God. You know, and Paul talks about that, but, you know, growing into the stature of a full Christian. And that we're meant to strive to that. So when we relinquish the choices that are placed before us, either actively or even in a way that's like sort of more underground, like less direct, but we're really all relinquishing our choices, we're not standing up in the identity that God gave us to be agents in our own lives and to feel the freedom that comes from this sense that I didn't have my life imposed upon me. I chose my life.
Right, right. Okay, so I have a very challenging question for you along these lines. Ready? So where is the line of the helplessness and abandonment to God's providence? Okay, mm-hmm. Let me explain. So it's a life situation that you're in. And it's not great.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a certain amount of like, well, I've abandoned myself to God's providence and this is what he allowed for this day and time. So you can get stuck right between those. Well, if God's allowed it, then I need to learn to love and embrace it and not feel helpless about it, etc. You see where I'm going?
Yeah, I see exactly what you're saying. Yeah. I would say that to jump to, I need to learn to love and embrace it, skips a step.
Okay.
The step it skips is first you need to choose it. So, for example, say you have a circumstance where your marriage isn't what you'd hoped it'd be.
Mm-hmm.
You have a difficult marriage, whatever reason that is. I'll leave that up to the listener to put in whatever the difficulty
fill in the blank
that resonates with them.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't choose to have that in your marriage necessarily, but are you choosing to be in the marriage with that present?
Mm-hmm.
Because the reality is this. When you are a faithful Catholic and you understand marriage as an indissolvable union between two people, and you're living that out, what can happen is you can start to forget that leaving your marriage is a choice many people make. Now, then you say, well, I would never choose that because I'm a good Catholic. Well, wait a second. You have chosen to be a good Catholic. And you have chosen to believe the teachings of the church. And you have chosen to live them in your own life. So when you say, well, of course I couldn't do that. I'm a good Catholic. Well, there are a lot of choices that came to that point. And so if you own it, if you say, you know what? I'm choosing this marriage. Even with its difficulties that I would prefer not be there, I choose it. Then you no longer feel like you're a victim of your circumstances. You have said, I can leave this marriage or I can stay in this marriage. I'm choosing to stay in it. Therefore, let me live this choice, not with resentment, but with freedom and power, knowing that there was another option. And so then you can move forward with, I have chosen it, so now I can learn to love my choice and to live in my choice with freedom and desire. What am I trying to accomplish? I've chosen to be in this marriage because I want to be a good Catholic, because being a good Catholic for me understands that there's a sacrament here, that there's holiness here, there's grace here. And I believe that the Lord is calling me to remain here and be in this marriage. Therefore, the Lord has grace for me. He has not abandoned me. I am not helpless. I have power and agency and an ability to bring great good through this choice. How different is that than,
poor me.
Poor me. I'm in this terrible relationship that I never wanted, and there's no way out. And that marriage is just an example, but this is in so many different circumstances in my life, in life, our lives. My job isn't what I want it to be. Okay, you can quit.
That's right.
Are you choosing not to quit? Well, then choose it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, maybe your children didn't turn out the way you wanted them to turn out. Well, do you abandon your children? Do you reject your children? Do you say, I wish you were never my children? Or do you choose the children that you have? Say, I'm their mom. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to, in this very circumstance, in the way that they are, I choose it. And how much power is there, not only in the idea that you have the freedom and the ability to choose, but in another person knowing, despite it all, I choose you.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the very thing that Jesus does to us.
Exactly.
In all our yuckiness, all mm-hmm. our fallenness, he says, I choose you, not because I have to, not just because I'm God and that's what I need to do. No, I choose you because you are worthy of being chosen. Because I love you. I created you to be chosen. And then he lives in his freedom of that choice, the freedom that goes so far that says, I'm going to die for you.
Right.
Not because anyone takes my life, but because I give it willingly.
Freely. Indeed.
And that's what it's all about. Mm-hmm. Living like Christ in the freedom of our choices, no matter how bad they are. Somebody can be standing with a gun at your head saying, I'm going to kill you right now if you don't do this, that, or the other. And you could say, well, I had to do that, this, that, or the other, or because I had no choice. No, actually, you do have a choice. You can choose death. And that's what the martyrs did.
It's true.
Did they go saying death was inflicted upon me? No, I chose it. And so this place of sense of victimhood or helplessness,
right?
That's the place where we need to ask ourselves, where am I thinking something's imposed upon me when really I am not facing the choice that I am making or not making? Okay, so I just went off. Now I'm going to just sit back and let you speak.
No,
but
no,
it's,
no.
It's an issue I'm passionate about.
Yeah, and I love that. I love the passion. Living with your choices. That's right. I think that's a good reminder, especially within marriages, that one of the things that I got a piece of advice when I was engaged to Paul, which was really great. And what they said is, trust in your decision. Mm-hmm. Trust in your choice of a spouse, right? If you wisely discern it, and that's the key there, you must wisely discern the choice of your spouse. You know, it's like for us, Team Marvin, we're in this, you mm-hmm. know, for the long haul. But to trust in your decision, trust in your choice to marry that person. So when the waves rebut the house and things like that, you're still that like, no, this is a good decision. It's been a good decision. It's been a good choice to choose this person for my spouse.
Yeah. But I would also say it's not a one and done choice. It's a choice that you choose every day. Mm-hmm. And so often we get caught up in revisit it. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. We get caught up in this idea. Well, I made the choice and now I can't change it. That's not true. You can always choose differently. There's freedom.
Choose not to, yeah.
And so that idea that, well, I would never do that. Well, why would you never do that?
Yeah, that's really interesting because you know me and my practicality. When those moments happen where you're feeling like I don't have a choice, mm-hmm. kind of look at that and say, ah, when I say that, there is something that I am choosing. Mm-hmm. So what are you choosing instead of? And examine right. that. I think that's a very important thing.
Yeah. And I think it also goes to saying, okay, what are the things that are so contrary to who I want to be that I don't see them as a viable choice, even though they exist in reality as a choice. But one of the things I find is that people can be very hard on themselves and not give themselves credit for their own virtue. Mm. The fact that, you know, if we want to stick with the, you know, example of marriage, the fact that I would never choose to divorce my spouse is a reality. That means that I have come to a place of such deep respect for the sacrament of marriage that is not an option that I'm allowing on the table. There's a goodness in that. There's a virtue in that, but it's a virtue that I've chosen. Not that it's been imposed upon me. The Catholic Church does not tell you can't get divorced. The Catholic Church tells you shouldn't get divorced and that in the eyes of God, you'll remain married. But there are many, many people that go off and get divorced. So there's a choice there. It's not, you're not being imposed upon. You're choosing, I'm going to follow this teaching maybe that has to do, you know, we've focused on marriage because that's how, you know, we're in that sacrament, but maybe that has to do with the choice of to remain chaste before marriage, or maybe that has to do with the choice of actually caring for your parents because, well, I know that the Lord tells us that we have to honor our parents. And so I must care for my elderly parents, even though it's really hard and I don't want to, but it's not a choice to just abandon them. People do.
They do.
People neglect their elderly family mm-hmm. members and don't take care of them. The fact that that doesn't seem like a choice to you is actually a virtue that you're choosing to live. But you'll not experience it as that if you only see yourself
it's a burden.
As a victim of your circumstances.
Yeah. Clearly.
Yeah. So...
So I like it that you started going with other types of choices. Let's, you know, you went off of the whole marriage one. Mm-hmm. Let's think of other ones too, that we have to live with our choices. Maybe it is the choice of education or not education. Okay. You're seeing that a lot these days too.
What do you mean by that?
Well, you see a lot these days of high school graduates that are choosing not to go into college, but to go into different types of technical.
Okay.
Or what's another word for those technical degrees?
Vocational.
Vocational. Yeah. There it is. They're choosing those. And I don't know why. Maybe it is a choice that, yeah, my last two of my five have made that choice.
Okay.
So
sure.
I'm a little bit more advocating for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good choice for them, but it doesn't come without a cost.
Yeah, that's true.
And one that can lead to less friendships, you know, that you don't have community like you did before. You can be more isolated. And so there's this sadness surrounding that kind of choice too. But I would remind her, this was a good choice. Mm-hmm. And it won't always be this way, you know, that kind of thing. So that's another type of big life choices.
And we're called to make choices all the time. Mm-hmm. And we really want to bring the Lord into those choices. That's what discernment is how do I choose well? How do I choose in a way that's holy? But you see, there no part did I say, how do I not choose? Like, how do I try to avoid my choices and run away from the fact that I'm going to be called and every day to make choices?
Yeah.
And that's the human existence, and that's the Christian walk. And like, one of the things I think is good to bring up as we're talking about like jobs and everything, as Christianity becomes more and more abhorrent to the woke world, there will be more and more choices that Christians have to make about whether they're going to be faithful to what they believe, or are they going to make a choice to keep their job even though their company might be telling them they have to support this, that, or the other, or get this, that, or the other in order to remain employed.
Yeah.
So, what about discerning between two good choices?
That happens a lot too. Yeah. And then in that place, you're like, okay, it's hard. And so maybe you don't want to go through the work that it takes to do proper discernment. So you kind of say, well, my wife really wants me to do this, or my husband really wants me to do that, so I'm just going to do that. And then so you punt on actually making the choice by just letting someone else discern for you. And God's calling us to be active agents in our lives.
Well, the prudence, I think, is so important there. As someone who I feel like I have not been very prudent in my life, because I'm very quick and spontaneous. So I'm quick to make a decision about things. I did that recently and I was like, you know what? I came back and second guessed myself, which I need to work on prudence during Lent, you know, but that's a really important thing when it comes to choosing a good, right? Like Caleb was just saying, how do you choose between two goods?
Right.
Well, prudence, you know, give it 24 to 48 hours and think and pray. That has been the sweet spot for me as someone who's actively been working on prudence.
Yeah, and I think the reality is too, this idea that kind of one and done choice kind of idea that like, I need to get it right this time, and if I don't get this one choice right, my whole life is going to go to heck in a handbasket,
well, that's
right?
A little dramatic.
That is dramatic, because the reality is one choice leads to five other choices. So say you choose a path that seemed like the best, the good that you were seeking. Well, guess what? When you go down that path, all of a sudden, life's choose your own adventure gives you three more choices. And that choice, one choice may be recognizing the choice you made the step before was actually not the best choice. Mm. And to have the humility to say, you know what? I made the wrong choice. And I have the freedom to choose differently.
Yes.
Like, I can course correct.
Right.
There's so much freedom that God gives us, and so often we relinquish it with these ideas that I'm stuck, or that somebody is imposing something on me, or
you know, you bring up such a good point that we see so much in our culture that I would like you to kind of crack that open and stop, and that is for people to openly admit when they're wrong.
Oh yeah,
you see that people don't. They explain away things instead of owning to be wrong. Like, when did it happen that we have such an abhorrence for being wrong about something? It's just one more step of getting closer to true and good and beautiful.
Yeah.
Because we make mistakes. And if we're on that journey, hopefully, yeah, it's going to happen.
Absolutely.
And why people don't.
Yeah, one of the things that comes to mind as you're saying that,
I mean,
is, you know, when we say the Confiteor in Mass, through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault, it's like this idea of I can own what I do, and there's freedom in the ownership even of my faults. You know, like, nobody chose for me. I chose it.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether that for ill or for good, I would say there's more freedom in saying I chose a sin than saying this good was imposed upon me that I had no choice.
Okay.
Because then you're a slave.
Yeah.
You're a slave to circumstances. You're a slave to the whim of other people. You're a slave to whatever.
Well, I can't be the slave to sin too. Like, what comes to mind is St. Paul that says, I do the things I do not want, which is happens for sure.
Right. But he's saying, I do the things I do not want. Mm-hmm. He's not saying somebody's making me do the things I do not want.
True.
Mm-hmm. Right. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying that it's good to sin at all. What I'm saying is that ownership of the action or of the choice, claiming it, yep, I did that, or I chose that, or I am choosing that,
right,
leads you into this place that says, I'm not a victim.
Right. And, you know, there's a lot of integrity in that as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we've lost so much of that in our culture.
Yeah. I mean, how much is it meaningful when somebody says to you, you know what, I messed up. I made a bad choice and it impacted you badly, and I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, that speaks a lot to people, much more so than, you know, oh, well, I had no control over that, you know, sorry.
It's not my fault.
Right. It's not my fault.
Yeah.
You know, so if we could just really grow in our maturity and the understanding that the Lord has given us this beautiful gift of freedom that He wants us to use, and He wants to use it for good, holy things. But when we choose poorly, He's right there with His mercy as long as we own up to the choice.
So true.
Because every time we go to confession, what we're really calling ourselves to do is say, yep, I chose to do sin. And now I'm owning up to it. Nobody made me do it. I'm here saying, yep, I chose it. Because I'll tell you, nothing priests hate more is when you go into the confessional and say, well, I did this, but my husband and my kids and my neighbor and my, they're like, wait a second.
My husband made me do it.
Yeah, no. And when we stand face to face with Jesus, He's not going to be like, oh yeah, that one's on your husband. You know, we're going to be responsible for the choices that we make. And unless we understand that they are our choices and we not only have the right, but the responsibility to make them, we will not live in the freedom that God's given us, and we won't really grow into the full stature of a mature Christian.
Okay. So I'm going to ask you then, given everything you said, totally agree. It's awesome. What are some practical tools if someone finds himself saying, well, it's not my fault, or I didn't do it. It's so, you know, the blame game or things like that, or the helplessness and things like that. What are some practical tools to help you switch your brain or trigger to think in a different direction?
Yeah. I think the best way to look at that is when you feel like I didn't have a choice, or there's no way out of this, or something like that, that feeling of helplessness, or to literally write down every single choice that's actually possible in this world, no matter how ridiculous or abhorrent you may think it is. Write every single choice down and recognize I have the ability to make any of these choices. Now, each one of these choices may have a lot of consequences, and a lot of those consequences might be things that you are unwilling to face, and that's why you're not choosing it. But you have to recognize that is a choice that is open to me. I choose to reject it or to consider it. But what you'll find is that when you do that, when you really acknowledge there are really all these choices open to me, and only one or two are even something that I would even consider because of whatever reasons. And then actually pick one. Say, you know what? Having looked at all this, all the different choices and all the different consequences that could come with these choices, I, with my own free will and with agency and with the discernment that the Holy Spirit has given me, choose this one and then live it as you chose it. Not as if it was imposed upon you, but live it in the freedom of the choice that you made. I tell you, it will change your view of everything because all of a sudden you start living not by what circumstances tried to determine in you, but in who you want to be. And hopefully that's who you want to be for the Lord.
Amen. I love your passion.
All right. Love you too. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
All right. Well, and thanks to all of you for listening. I hope that this blesses you and just is an encouragement to live in this beautiful, glorious gift of freedom that the Lord has given us.
And slavery.
Yeah. And if you feel like someone in your life maybe is struggling to really embrace the freedom that God has given them, I hope that you'll share it and hope that it will bless them. And until next time, hope you remain united with us in prayer. God bless.
God bless.